This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the poetry and music of Joy Harjo.
We were running out of breath as we ran to meet ourselves. We were surfacing the edge of our ancestors' fights and ready to strike. It was difficult to lose days in the Indian bar if you were straight. Easy if you played pool and drank to remember to forget.
That's the beginning of An American Sunrise. The poem was published earlier this year in Poetry Magazine, and the song was just mastered. The Poetry Foundation recently awarded the 2017 Ruth Lilly Poetry Prize to Joy Harjo. The award honors a living U.S. poet for outstanding lifetime achievement. And part of Joy Harjo's achievement has been to bring an Indigenous American woman's perspective into the mainstream of American poetry. Joy Harjo joins me from WUOT in Knoxville, where she's a professor of creative writing at the University of Tennessee. Hi, Joy.
Hi, Curtis.
So I like talking to poets, but I like hearing them read their poems even more. Can I get you to read An American Sunrise, the lyrics of the song we were just listening to? And if you want to say anything about it before you read it, please do.
Okay, yeah, this poem is Golden Shovel Form, which was taking Gwendolyn Brooks' We Real Cool. And the end words of the poem are lines from that poem.
We Real Cool. The pool players, seven at the Golden Shovel. We real cool, we left school, we lurk late, we strike straight, we sing sin, we thin gin, we jazz June, we die soon.
So Golden Shovel takes an existing poem or part of a poem and takes the words and uses them as in words in a new poem.
Right, right.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear your Golden Shovel.
An American sunrise. We were running out of breath. As we ran to meet ourselves, we were surfacing the edge of our ancestors' fights and ready to strike. It was difficult to lose days in the Indian bar if you were straight. Easy if you played pool and drank to remember to forget. We made plans to be professional and did, and some of us could sing. So we drummed a firelit pathway up to those starry stars. Sin was invented by the Christians, as was the devil we sang. We were the heathens, but needed to be saved from them. Thin chance. We knew we were all related in this story. A little gin will clarify the dark and make us feel like dancing. We had something to do with the origins of blues and jazz. I argued with a Pueblo as I filled the jukebox with dimes in June. 40 years later, and we still want justice. We are still America. We know the rumors of our demise. We spit them out. They die soon.
Now, the ending of the poem is quite provocative in some ways. The Brooks poem ends, we die soon, and your mm-hmm. poem ends, they die soon, which makes a reader wonder, who are the they in this poem?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they?
They die soon. Well, it's dying. I mean, you think about how anything that is not ultimately harmonic spins its way out of the universe.
Mm. The poem has a defiant tone in it, including the title, An American Sunrise. The speakers of the poem simply do not accept that they are on the way out culturally. In fact, they are at the dawn of something. And the implication, the way I read it, is that they're oppressors who are on the way out. Is that a fair reading of that poem?
Pretty fair. I mean, because we are not on our way out culturally, for one.
Yeah. But there is a perception out there that tribes are in disarray and American Indians have little to contribute to the larger culture. There is that.
Oh, yes. I'm very familiar with that belief, mm-hmm. with that belief that is probably at the root of some of the troubles in America that are going on right now.
We had something to do with the origins of blues and jazz. I argued with the music as I filled the jukebox with dimes. June. 40 years later, and we still want justice.
So it's interesting that, that this is an homage to Brooks as well as an independent poem on its own, and that in Brooks's case, she is talking about a community that's been marginalized by white America, in her case, African Americans, in your case, Native Americans. So there seems to be a great, not just in this poem, but in general, a great affinity between your work and Gwendolyn Brooks's work, I would think.
Yeah, I would be honored if somebody said that. But yes, there is an affinity. And when I first started writing poetry, I always loved poetry. I asked for poetry books as a child when someone asked me what I wanted for a gift. And my mother wrote songs, and she loved William Blake. And she was a songwriter, so I listened to her as she wrote songs. So I had an awareness of song language, of poetry. And when I didn't start writing poetry until I was a student at University of New Mexico, an art major, and it took me over. When I realized that Native, indigenous people were writing poetry, it blew things open for me. And so I went looking around the world and went to African American, West African poets for inspiration.
From what I've read about your story, you were noticing a conspicuous lack of women's voices in Native literature, were you not?
Yes. Well, especially my poetry came out of, it emerged from indigenous rights movements and being a student activist at the University of New Mexico with the Kiva Club. And I was a painter. I was working on my BFA in art. I'm actually about 9 hours within a BFA degree in art, in studio art. And I realized that there's a larger story and the crucial story going on about justice and human rights. It's ongoing. I mean, it hasn't ended. And there was a lack of women's voices and what we were going through and our perspective was missing. And so the poetry emerged from that need, I suppose. I suppose it was a need.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get you to read another poem. This is a poem about beginnings. It's kind of a creation poem called Once the World Was Perfect. Anything you want to say about this one before you read it?
Yeah, this poem is references the a version of the Muscogee Creek origin story in which the people emerged from the dark into this world.
And your heritage is Muscogee?
Yeah, Muscogee Creek.
Originally from Alabama, correct?
My family in Alabama, but eastern Tennessee, Georgia, down into what's now known as Florida. And it was quite a large confederacy of tribal nations.
And then pushed out west by Andrew Jackson,
right.
Correct?
Uh-huh.
And then most of them settled in what area?
Oklahoma. That's where the Muscogee Creek Nation is now, in Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and give it a read, if you would.
Once the world was perfect, and we were happy in that world, then we took it for granted. Discontent began a small rumble in the earthly mind. Then doubt pushed through with its spiked head, and once doubt ruptured the web, all manner of demon thoughts jumped through. We destroyed the world we had been given for inspiration for life. Each stone of jealousy, each stone of fear, greed, envy, and hatred put out the light. No one was without a stone in his or her hand. There we were, right back where we had started. We were bumping into each other in the dark, and now we had no place to live, since we didn't know how to live with each other. Then one of the stumbling ones took pity on another and shared a blanket. A spark of kindness made a light. The light made an opening in the darkness. Everyone worked together to make a ladder. A Wind Clan person climbed out first into the next world, and then the other clans, the children of those clans, their children and their children, all the way through time, to now, into this morning light to you.
That was Once the World Was Perfect by Joy Harjo from her book Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings. So the poem makes a powerful argument, I think, for culture, for the continuity of culture and how each generation can help the next through a very dark world. It's strikingly hopeful, this poem, and especially coming from a poet from a Native culture that has experienced ethnic cleansing and many dire tribulations.
Well, I believe the world was created by a creator who certainly has a sense of humor. There's a dire sense of humor right now when it comes to governments, and but ultimately sets us out here. We get set out here into this drama, and we can go a number of ways, but there is really no peace until we head towards kindness, I think. And I guess when I started seeing this with being, I just had my first great-grandchild, and I was a grandmother in my 30s. And I started noticing something about generations and looking at how a generation is a person. And then I teach my students about poetry ancestors. We all have poetry ancestors. So in this poem, you could say, maybe I would like to say William Blake was in here, and maybe Gwendolyn Brooks too, of course. Gwendolyn Brooks is a poetry ancestor, just like Lucille Clifton, who I love dearly. There's the origin story, the Muskogee origin story poem. There are many ancestors in this poem.
Let's hear one more poem, if you would. Eagle poem. Anything you want to say about this one? I know that eagles loom large in the mythologies and folklore of various tribes, and it feels like you're drawing on that a bit here.
Yes, there's that, and then there's the personal relationship with eagle, which I won't say any more about. And
that's so intriguing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that wasn't fair, was it?
Yeah, no.
And
we'll let, go ahead.
And then there's I was at a sweat in Arizona, and this is some time back because this poem has been out there running around for a while. And four eagles circled over, and it felt as if they gave me this poem.
That's great. Go ahead. Read it, please.
Eagle poem. To pray, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you. And know there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can't know, except in moments steadily growing, and in languages that aren't always sound but other circles of motion. Like eagle that Sunday morning over Salt River, circled in blue sky and wind, swept our hearts clean with sacred wings. We see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing we are made of all this, and breathe, knowing we are truly blessed because we were born and die soon within a true circle of motion. Like eagle, rounding out the morning inside us, we pray that it will be done in beauty, in beauty.
That was Joy Harjo reading Eagle Poem from her 1990 book, In Mad Love and War. Joy, there's that word kindness again, that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. There's that word again.
Yeah, I guess it is. I didn't realize. It's there.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
So you say this poem has circulated quite widely since you wrote it probably in the 1980s.
Yes, I get emails probably. I get an email or sometimes even a letter or a note somehow from people all over saying they used it at a wedding or they used it at a funeral or a birth announcement or...
Those occasions when people who normally don't read poetry need poetry.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That must be make you feel especially good when it's especially a non-poetry reader perhaps is writing you about this poem.
Well, they're meant to be used. I think most poems are, and you know they're meant to be useful, and they can change perception. Or you know, all of us come from cultures, the root cultures in which language is seen as an absolutely essential, and poems and songs are absolutely essential to the well-being of the people.
And yet, much of what your work is about is trying to transcend the limitations of language, struggle against what language can't do to get to a deeper place.
Yes, that's when I go to my saxophone. But it doesn't make sense. I should have learned guitar first. I'm trying to learn it now. I can play a little bass and I'm learning that. But it didn't make sense as a poet to go to saxophone, which I went to when I was almost 40. But I just love the sound of the saxophone. And when you know, and then poetry, though, it's like it leaps to saxophone and back. It's the same voice.
This is a track called Equinox from Joy Harjo's album Winding Through the Milky Way.
I must keep from breaking into the story by force. If I do, I will find a war club in my hand and the smoke of grief staggering toward the sun. Your nation dead beside you.
Joy Harjo is the winner of the 2017 Ruth Lilly Poetry Prize for Lifetime Achievement. The prize will be presented at a ceremony in Chicago on June 12th. Joy Harjo has written many books and put out many albums, and you can find a list of them on our website, where you can also read a selection of her poems and articles about her work. Do let us know what you think of this podcast. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.